Happy Easter, everyone. Happy Easter. It's great to be together this morning on Easter Day. I've still got the taste of popping candy sort of just in my mouth, doing all sorts of funny things. We're going to be looking at that Bible passage in just a moment, so keep it open if you have it in front of you. Keep it open there on page 967. We'll be looking at it in just a second. We're going to start somewhere else, though. We're going to start with a little game, and I'm going to need a volunteer, someone who's got very good eyes, someone who can keep an eye on fast-moving activity. Katie Danes, do you reckon you can keep up with what's going on here? Now, we were going to use, for this game, we were going to use an egg of some kind, but an egg would make it much too easy. Come out, if you like. So I thought we'd use chocolate coins. And this is all about whether we can keep up with fast-moving activity, things that are moving on quickly. Can we keep up, or will we get left behind? And the question is, can Katie keep up with where the gold coin is? It's going to be under one of these three cups, and you need to keep an eye out for where they're... why don't we move forward, and you sit there on that chair. Yeah, you're going to be the person at the front. And I'm going to move them around very quickly. Actually, it's not going to help, is it, if I've got the same different colour cups? Thank you. Help me. Help me, Sam. What am I doing? What was I thinking? I thought, this will be colourful. Just have a bit more popping candy, everyone. Go on. Deary me. I didn't practice this. Always practice your... Thank you, Sam. Yeah, thank you. That's going to be harder, isn't it, now? Yeah. Yeah, you thought... Where is it? I don't know where it is now. There, right. Okay. So, the question is, can you keep an eye on it? Can you keep up? Right? Right, where is it? You can see it. What? Very good, very good. Okay, what about someone else? Someone else. Imogen, come on then. Can we keep up? Can we keep up? Will we get left behind? Will you get confused, bamboozled by the fast-paced action? Right, are you ready? What do you reckon? Is it under? Better not be. Yes! Very good. One more person. One more person. Move what? Oh, right, okay. Is it too close? Okay. Dylan, go on then. One more. Can we keep up? It's very important. I think everyone can keep up. That's the message I'm getting. Everyone can keep up with my very simple game. You ready, Dylan? Okay. Oh, knocked his cup over. What do you reckon? Oh, dear. Well, nice one. Hey, you should all have a gold coin, shouldn't you? Chocolate coin. You should be able to take the coin that you followed so easily. There you go. One for you. One for you. Just to add to the chocolate you've had today. There we go. Nice one. Well done, everyone. I'll practice that for next year, see if we can make it more difficult. Well, we all know, don't we, how important it is to keep up with things as they happen. We talk about things moving on quickly and how it's important to keep up. In what context do we talk about keeping up with things? We talk about keeping up at school, don't we? You've got to keep up at school. You don't want to get left behind if the class has finished one thing and moves on to the next thing. You want to keep up. You don't want to be left behind with that. Some of the adults talk about keeping up with the neighbours. Keeping up with the neighbours. You know, perhaps if they get this nice bit of garden furniture, then you're sort of looking over the fence thinking, ooh, that would be nice for our garden. We'd love one of those. So there's a sense of keeping up with the neighbours. We talk about keeping up with the news, don't we? So that we're up to date with what's going on in the world. We know what's happening. We talk about keeping up with technology, don't we? I mean, some of us just feel left behind by the latest sort of advances in technology, and we feel bewildered by what's going on. But other people are really good at keeping up, and they know exactly how to operate the latest phone, and it doesn't matter what the changes are in tablets and computers, they're on the money. They know what's going on. So keeping up with things is really important, isn't it? And if we don't keep up, we find ourselves left behind, don't we? We can find ourselves left behind. And that, sometimes that can feel a bit silly. You can feel a bit awkward if you get left behind. Can be a little bit embarrassing, in fact, if you're not keeping up. You're not living in the real world. You can in some ways be living in the past, can't you? Living in the past. Well, Easter Day is a little bit like that. Easter Day is a bit like that. Things have moved on. As Sam was saying at the beginning, Easter Day is about things moving on a lot. Things have moved on a lot. And Easter Day asks us, will you move on with the times? Will you move on with the times? Or will you get left behind? Will you get left behind? Will you be stuck in the past? So if we have got the Bible open on page 967, you'll see in our passage that things have moved on considerably from Good Friday. Do you remember when Jesus was dying on the cross? And then we heard, didn't we? Sally Ann read for us how he was laid. His body was laid in a tomb. He was completely dead and buried. And his body was cold. But there has been a colossal step forward. A huge development. We talk about Neil Armstrong landing on the moon, don't we? It's a giant leap for mankind. Well, this, it really is a giant leap forward. Did you see there in verse 6? It says, he has risen. The man you thought was dead, the man who was dead, is alive again. He is back. He is alive. He's real. He's alive. Now, the angel realizes this is big news. This is a major development, that Jesus is no longer dead, but lives. He's alive. So he says, don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed. You get the impression that if there were chairs nearby, he would have said to the lady, ladies, just pull up a chair. Sit down, because what I'm about to tell you is massive news. It's really big news. So don't be alarmed, but Jesus is alive. He's alive. And he sort of says, well, if you're not completely convinced, come and have a look. Do you see that in verse 6 still? See the place where they laid him. And he knows that the women had seen the place, hadn't they? We saw that at the end of chapter 15, verse 47. They'd been there on the Friday evening. They'd seen where he was laid. So they knew that's exactly the place he was. He's not there anymore. Why is he not there anymore? Because he's alive. He is alive. Do you see, this is no small change. There's no sort of minor alteration going on in the situation here. The angel wasn't saying, now, I'm afraid, ladies, bad news. We've had to just move him a bit. He looked slightly awkward lying on his back, so we put him just a little bit on his side. Nothing like that. The angel didn't say, I'm afraid we thought that grave was somewhat unsuitable, so we've moved him to a bigger grave. Or we've moved him to a more prominent location where one day we can build a visitor centre and a cafe and people can come and see the grave and pay their respects there. No, 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 no. He's alive. He's alive. This grave is no longer relevant. It's no longer relevant as a place to come and pay your respects. No, no. And there's evidence that he's alive. In fact, as someone who is alive, we're all alive this morning, aren't we? And we've all got plans for what we're going to do this, you know, today and tomorrow and with our holiday if we're off school. And he's like that. Jesus is getting on with his life. That's proof, isn't it, that he's alive? Verse 7, go tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. Jesus is going somewhere. He's on his way to a meeting place in Galilee. The guy you thought was dead is walking up a street near you. That's the message, isn't it? The guy you thought was dead, ladies, is walking up a street near you. You know the streets. He's there. He's walking up it right now. It's pretty incredible, isn't it? It is incredible. Easter tells us Jesus is a living presence to be reckoned with. He's alive forever. And he's not going to go away. He's here to stay. He's here to stay. That's the great claim of Christianity. That's the big assertion of the scriptures, of the Bible. That after he died, Jesus rose again. He rose again and is alive forever. And the angel expects the women to keep up, doesn't he? He expects the women to keep up with what's going on and follow what's happened. He wants them to start living and acting as though Jesus really is alive. These are the facts. So, go and tell his disciples and Peter. Start living and speaking as though he really is alive. He doesn't delay and say, do you think that's plausible? Do you think that could really happen? Does it seem reasonable to you that this could take place? He says, "This is the these are the facts. Get with the facts. Start living that way, speaking that way." Now, I just want to say this morning that they had to kind of keep up, didn't they? They had to keep pace with what was going on, or they were going to fall behind reality. They were going to get left in the past unless they kept up. And that meant they had to change their faith, their way of thinking. Because these ladies did have a kind of faith, didn't they? They had a faith. Did you notice that? They were very committed, sincere believers in a way, I suppose, weren't they? Very committed and sincere. They had been the last to leave the site, the grave site on Good Friday. They'd stayed by the cross when lots of people ran away. They stayed. And they were the first there on Easter Sunday morning, weren't they? They had huge kind of reverence for Jesus. Very devoted to him. But they woke up, despite this sense of devotion to him, they woke up seeing him as a kind of heroic failure. Heroic failure. Yes, he tried to fight his very best against sin and Satan on the cross, but ultimately, he'd lost. He'd lost that battle. He'd tried, but he'd lost. And they woke up seeing him now as sadly unable to do the things that he used to do, the things that we loved so much, the way he spoke his truth to us. He's no longer able to do those things. The way he did great miracles, he's no longer able to do those things. The way he delivered people from oppression, from the burdens in their life, no longer able to do those things. The way he transformed people, he's no longer able to do those things. Well, to them, Jesus was just a heroic failure, powerless in the present, in the real world. And I'm afraid that kind of faith we see here, well, it's a kind of a downbeat faith, isn't it? It's nothing more than a sort of solemn homage. And that's what these ladies have got as they come to the tomb that morning. But they need to keep up, don't they? They need to keep up with the facts, with what's really going on. Because if Jesus is alive, then their faith had to change. Had to change. Their faith had to be now in Jesus as mighty victor. As a mighty victor. Not someone who'd lost, but someone who had won the battle against sin and against Satan. The cross wasn't a moment of defeat. It was a moment of victory. It was part of his victory. The price for sin had been paid. Shame, our shame and our guilt, had been covered. Death was no longer this closed door. Jesus turned death into just a fleeting moment, just a brief moment. And what else did he transform? Well, the fact that he was alive meant he was powerful again in the present. He'd be able to continue those mighty great deeds that he'd done and that people had loved him for. He was still able to perform wonderful miracles, still able to bring about great transformations, still able to free people from the things that trapped them and oppressed them, the things that really got them down. Now their faith had to be in Jesus as a triumphant hero, someone who is powerful in the present. And that kind of faith is quite different, isn't it? It's not a sort of solemn homage. If he's real, if he's a victor, if he's powerful in the present, then that's the kind of faith that goes with that is full of joy and excitement and anticipation and expectation. What might he do? What might he do? In the passage that follows, Mark 16, 9 to 20, Jesus appears a few times and he objects to those who still have this kind of old faith. They see Jesus as a consigned to history and powerless in the present. No, he says, you must have a new faith that treats him like he is this mighty victor who's present and active in the world today. And I want to just ask this morning, friends, where is our faith today? Are we keeping up with the facts of Easter? That Jesus is real, that he's alive, that he's active in 2016? Or have we got left behind? Is Jesus, to all intents and purposes to us, still in the grave? Is our faith a solemn homage? Or is it something full of joy and bright expectation, anticipation of what he can do in the present? It's really vital, isn't it, that we in the church keep up. Because the church is so often presented as backward, stuck in the past, left behind. But actually, on this, we are to be at the front. The world thinks you live just for a time and then it's all over, and that Jesus is just a rumour from history. We have the opportunity to say, no, Jesus is alive. Life goes on beyond the grave. And Jesus is living and active today. We can show that to people. And it's vital that that we see that he's alive as well in terms of where we are as a church and where we're going. Because we don't want to just say, well, it all stopped. He's not doing anything now. No, we want to say he's real, he's living, he's alive, he's moving, he's making progress, he's doing things. Do you remember he said, I'll meet you in Galilee? And then later on he said, we'll go to Jerusalem. And then he said to his disciples, wait in Jerusalem. And then he said, go to all the ends of the earth with the gospel message. There was a sense of progress. The work was to go on. And if Jesus is real and alive today, then as a church here at St. Helens, we want to have that sense of being ready to hear. What is he doing next? What's happening? Where does he want us to go? And that's part of what we've been talking about recently, isn't it? Trying to discern, where does he, the living Christ, want us to go next with the gospel message? So this is an exciting day, a wonderful day when all our kind of old faith must be changed by the fact that Jesus is alive, by the resurrection. We're going to enjoy thinking about that a bit more as we sing. We're going to sing a couple more songs about the fact that Jesus is alive. Two songs called See What a Morning and He Is Risen. Just as the musicians take their places, why don't I say a prayer for us? Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus is alive, that the doom and gloom of Good Friday and of the grave, simply in and of themselves, have been transformed by his rising, that he's alive. This puts a new light on everything. Help us take that in today. May it transform our faith from a solemn homage to one of joyful, eager expectation. Help us praise him now as we sing.